Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning, Montana. As you can tell, this is not Aaron Flint. The great Aaron Flint is out on vacation, getting some much-needed rest and relaxation with his family. So you have Scott Aspenlighter and Councilwoman Jennifer Owen in this morning to cover for Aaron Flint. So,
good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer. Great to have you. Good opportunity for us.
Absolutely.
To sit and mash it up about some local politics today.
Can't wait.
Yeah. This is going to be a good show. So Councilwoman Owen and I serve as city council people in Billings here, and I've had the opportunity to serve with Councilwoman Owen, Jennifer, for the last year. Known her for longer than that,
yes.
But had the great opportunity to work with her in city council and local government stuff for the last year, and boy, do we have some things to talk about as it relates to the city of Billings, local government, and even some of the things that we're going to be facing, impacts and ramifications of legislation coming down the pipeline this next legislative session.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, local government's the government that you interact with every day, and there is a lot going on, I think, here in Billings and around the state. We see local governments all over the state wrestling with the same issues. How do we provide the services that people need without getting taxes out of control? And there are going to be some big discussions in the year ahead.
Yeah, especially as, I mean, you, just like everybody, all of the listeners felt the impact of the property valuations and the increased taxes resulting from that. We in Billings here have multiplied that with rate increases and service fees and all of the fees.
That's right.
And taxes. And here we sit today, heading into this next year. Our producer, Caden, reminded me that we also got wrong water bills here in Billings. Thanks a lot, Caden.
Don't know if anybody's heard about that.
Yeah, yep. Thanks for that reminder. Merry Christmas. So, you know, I think there's a big conversation to be had, and it's one that we're going to have here in Billings about where is too much too much?
That's right.
Where's the line?
And really, what's the role of government? I mean, I know people say, and I think it's fair, local government is about people, pipes, and potholes. And we really do, I think, in the upcoming year, have a conversation about what are the basic services and how do we do them really well, and then let the private sector do the rest.
Yeah, that's a novel concept. We can't even get that right at the federal level. But we've got a great opportunity to talk about some of that stuff. We're going to delve into that real deep here in this first hour. But today we got a bunch to go through. U.S. Attorney Jesse Lazlovich is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour, at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, to talk about some of the successes he's had in criminal justice and what he's been doing at the federal level for Montana. We're going to have Taya Keith from the Family Justice Center, which is an issue near and dear to your and I's heart. And then we're going to have Kyla Hailstone on later in the 7 o'clock hour talking about the Family Court Awareness Project and Brody's Law. So, Montana, buckle up. We've got a good one today. You're listening to Montana Talks. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy today. High near 47. Tonight, mainly cloudy, low near 30. Lots of clouds on Saturday with a high near 49. Saturday night, cloudy, areas of rain and some snow, a low near 30. Areas of rain and some snow possible early on Sunday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
This is House Call for Health. The new year is right around the corner, and for some, it's all about the resolutions. One that many people try, more exercise. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there are many benefits to physical activity, both immediate and long-term. For starters, you'll feel better right away, function better, and sleep better. Exercise can also lead to better thinking, learning, and judgment as you age, and can help with the risks of depression and anxiety. As for reducing other health risks, exercise can help with cardiovascular disease, heart disease, and stroke are two leading causes of death in the U.S. Just 150 minutes per week of moderate physical activity can reduce that risk. It can also reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. And physical activity might help reduce the risk of serious outcomes from infectious diseases like the flu or pneumonia. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share, but if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspenlighter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone. Texting.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Good morning, Montana. You've got Scott Aspenlighter and Jennifer Owens sitting in for the great Aaron Flint this morning. Glad to have you. Looking forward to the show today. We've got some great things to talk about. But Jennifer and I are going to mix it up a little bit here about local Billings politics and what's going on in our city for the first part of the show. So, Jennifer, we've got a good opportunity here Billings with our city council. Most maybe folks haven't heard, but Councilwoman Denise Joy got appointed by the county commissioners to fill Emma Kerr Carpenter's seat in the Montana House of Representatives. So we have an open seat on the city council Ward 3.
And, you know, we've had a lot of 6-5 decisions over the last year, a lot of very close philosophical differences on the council. And this is going to be a really interesting conversation for our community of which direction we want to go as a local government. And I think, you know, you see people struggling with that around the state is what do we really expect out of our local governments and the kind of leadership that they can offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ward 3, to get oriented, Ward 3 is generally kind of the central swath of Billings all the way down to Briarwood, mm-hmm. across the Yellowstone River. But it's kind of central, south central Billings.
That's right.
Is generally what Ward 3 is. So, Jennifer, maybe you can talk about the process now.
Sure.
Now that we're open.
Right. So I think everybody knows that here in Billings and most parts of the state, city council spots are nonpartisan. So it doesn't look like the legislative appointment where a party gives three names to the county commission and then they pick it. Here, instead, it's an open application process. So our mayor has established a process whereby people will essentially just send a letter of application expressing why they're interested, send a resume. People will certainly call in and advocate for their preferred candidate. But what we typically do here in Billings and what I think we'll do again this time is an open forum where the public can see all of the candidates who've applied. And then the mayor picks subject to council's approval.
So that last step is the important step.
That's right.
So the mayor will select based off the applicant pool,
mm-hmm.
and recommend to council.
Correct.
And council then has to ratify that decision. Is that, that's correct, right?
That's correct. And we will be, we're an 11-person council, but we will have a vacancy on January 6th, and that'll make us a 10-person council.
Which is going to make for a very interesting process.
I think it will be interesting. Our mayor generally strives for consensus, and God be with him.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say we're not going to have consensus
on this
one. I think
that is correct.
So, Jennifer, you've been serving as a councilwoman longer than I have. Maybe talk about what some of the qualifications and requirements are for a council person. For those folks that are listening that maybe fell out of bed this morning, bumped their head and thought, hey, maybe I'm interested in being on the city council.
Right.
What are some of the high-level things that you think are important to know?
Well, I think the most important thing to know is what council can and can't do. So Billings is what's called a commission manager style of government, which means the majority of the government work is done by a city administrator and the staff underneath him. Council's authority is relatively limited, important, but limited. It is predominantly to shape the budget, which is huge. It sets the direction for the local government and to manage and oversee the city administrator directly, not the staff, but just the city administrator. On top of that, Billings is a charter form of government, which means we have a local constitution, essentially, that shapes what council can and can't do. So the first thing a council, potential council member needs to know is what that charter says. And then they need to understand that their role will be limited but vital, and they have to be really good at it. And that means being able to comprehend nearly a $500 million budget. I think people don't realize how big the budget for the city of Billings is, but we're about a $500 million budget, and you need to be willing to dive into that, make tough choices, and understand that it's about prioritization. We, because of our charter, we have a mill cap. We don't have unlimited revenue, nor do we have unlimited ability to raise it, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
But it means you have to be serious about making choices, listening to your constituents, and advocating for them. And if you're not willing to do that, there's lots of other ways to serve the community. This is really about how we wisely use tax dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's incredibly well said. The thing I think that was a surprise to me was there is a vast array of backgrounds on our city council.
Yes.
Right. Like, you're an attorney by trade and worked in the justice system for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We've got a retired officer / banker.
Yep.
We've got another attorney. We've got a software guy. We've got an architect. I'm an engineer. Councilman Kennedy was a fundraiser and foundation manager. And we've got a vast array of backgrounds on city council, which is great on a lot of issues.
Yep.
But back to the consensus part, like, we come from very different points of views, and representing all the different parts of our city, we also have very different priorities, I think, in general. And what was surprising to me was the amount of time. If you want to be a council person, the amount of time that it takes to do that right and to do it well.
That's right.
You can be there every Monday night and throw your hand up one way or the other, or you can be a council person.
That's right. You could be a leader,
right,
or a vote.
Right. And that is a very distinct difference. And that's something that I think we don't take lightly.
I think that's right. And I think people should be aware that it is a full-time job that is volunteer paid.
Right. So a little bit more on that after this coming break, but you're here with Scott Aspenwider and Jennifer Owen filling in for the great Aaron Flint. This is Montana Talks.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work, those who use a social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, we may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 27-28 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
As we continue to move towards a new presidential administration, many of those responsible for securing the southern border say they're looking forward to the tighter restrictions favored by President-elect Trump. National Border Patrol Council Vice President Artel Cueto asked this on the Fox Business Network.
How much money is too much to defend our freedoms, to defend the future of America, and how much have we already spent to defend someone else's borders?
Del Cueto also criticized officials who were setting up systems to help illegal migrants avoid potential deportations.
They're trying to bring forth policies and laws to defend criminals.
Terrell County, Texas Sheriff Thaddeus Cleveland added this on Fox's America Reports.
We've got some sheriffs that are more concerned about protecting a vote or securing a vote rather than secure the U.S.-Mexico border.
Del Cueto says the bottom line on the whole situation
is a slap in the face to the American public.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
It's with the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordlund. It was not much of a white Christmas for many of our farmers and ranchers across Western Ag Network country this year. And with no snow on the ground, many winter wheat producers are concerned about the lack of white precipitation piling up out in the countryside. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
To this point, we have been pretty fortunate. We have escaped, except for some sub-zero cold across parts of the northern plains, mainly north and east of the primary winter wheat production areas.
But a cold outbreak is the main worry.
A lot of exposure without the benefit of snow cover that could compromise the integrity of the crop. That would be especially a concern in some of our northern production areas, Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska. That's some of our key winter wheat production states where we still see some drought-affected wheat that either did not emerge evenly or is poorly established heading into this winter dormancy period.
Rippey added, though, that in the short term, cold weather is not in the forecast over the next couple of weeks, which could give time for that snow to build up and create a nice insulation layer out on that winter wheat in the countryside. Looking to the input into farming, the global potash market is well supplied, according to experts, with stable and affordable prices expected throughout 2025, despite geopolitical risks. Production rebounded 13% in 2023, driven by Belarus and Russia, overcoming sanctions, while investments in new production could boost capacity by 19% by 2028. Canada remains the top exporter of potash, and potential U.S. tariffs on Canadian potash, along with weather-related delays in fertilizer application, may cause short-term disruptions in North America. However, analysts anticipate overall price stability, making potash the most affordable major nutrient heading into the new year.
As a cattle producer, you know the market has its share of ups and downs. But when you're ready to sell, you always want the best price. Since 1989, Western Video Market has been delivering just that. Western Video Market's mission is to provide its customers and buyers with innovative marketing opportunities, coupled with the personal attention that's the company's hallmark. Your rep works hard to connect you with your buyers, and they won't stop working when your cattle are sold. When you work with Western Video Market, you're part of a family. Learn more at WVMcattle.com. Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now on our clearance center, we've got a 2021 John Deere S780 combine with 1,125 separator hours, equipped with an Active Yield Plus monitor system and a 400 bushel grain tank, now clearance at just $279,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance. But don't wait, this unit won't last long.
Now, returning back this morning, we have received quite a few messages from our dedicated listeners out across the countryside around the Corporate Transparency Act. And while, yes, there was an injunction in place that would keep that from going into effect on Monday of this week, the Corporate Transparency Act requirements are now back on the table following a court ruling. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals lifted the injunction, allowing enforcement to resume on January 13th of 2025. The law mandates small businesses, including family farms and ranches, to disclose ownership information or face fines and jail time. Groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association are pushing for a delay and permanent fix, but until then, business owners, including farmers and ranchers, are encouraged to consult legal and tax advisors and follow the process so they are not fined after that January 13th enrollment deadline. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This morning you got Scott Aspenlighter and Jennifer Owens sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. So we've got a quick segment. So we're going to take a call from Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, do you got us?
Good morning.
Morning, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Well, you guys are talking about city council. This is a part. This is something that just really gripes me. You know, 20 years ago, I don't know exactly when it happened, but 20 years ago, we had a racetrack for cars just south, or excuse, east of Billings by a couple miles. The grandstands blew down, okay? So we had a lot of folks that liked to go see that stuff, including myself, that was without any racing whatsoever for actually quite a few years, a half dozen years probably. And we had, I know it's probably, I guess it would be county. We had the fairgrounds down here, and they did race sprint cars down here at the fairgrounds. But I don't know if the city council had anything to do with it, but I think they probably did. But they allowed a track to be built north of Billings by about, I don't know, whatever it is, 8 miles, 9 miles, okay? There's absolutely no water. There's no motels. There's nothing. And we had it all in Billings, Montana. We had the grandstands, which are no longer there. They got ripped down for whatever reason. We had a track. It was a little on the large side, but it could have been downsized. We had all the accommodations. We had everything, but it never happened. I don't know if the city council, which I'm thinking they did, had the decision on, oh, let's just not do it there. Let's just tear it down the grandstands. Let's just put it into a big dirt parking lot. The Special Olympics can't be held there no more. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, it was a total joke. We had it all, and they allowed it, and they kept the horses.
You know, Steve raises a really great point, which is that city-county collaboration, particularly here in Billings, where we're such a huge part of the county. It's really critical that the city and county work together, and that's what taxpayers want to see, is that their local governments are collaborating and planning together. Now, these projects are outside city borders, but it doesn't mean it doesn't affect our city. And when we make decisions here in Billings, it affects the whole county, and that partnership is a critical part of local government.
Correct. Yeah, no, that... What Steve's referring to specifically are county issues dealt with by the county commissioners, but in very close proximity to Billings, and we've got to do a better job of collaborating with our county commissioners
planning and
really laying the groundwork. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Montana Talks. All right, welcome back. So we got some messages in from the app. Cameron from Billings said, from a council perspective, what does the city of Billings need from government to amenities?
Yeah, I think if we mentioned we have 11 members on city council, I think if you ask that question, you get about 14 opinions on how that should be answered. From my perspective, and I think you really see this in the way we've approached the new rec center, city council needs to do its fundamental job. We need to build the infrastructure that allows private capital formation. We had gone to the city had gone to the voters for $200 million tax dollars to build a rec center, and the voters very wisely said no. But instead, we came back and said, well, what if the city just put in the infrastructure and let private organizations, people who believe in recreation, build the actual amenities? And that's worked gangbusters.
Right. Yeah. Signal Peak came to the table with $6 million.
Incredible.
And they're going to go out and private fundraise the remaining $6 million for this ice facility that they're going to build at Amen Park.
And we know rec groups all over the community are talking about what they can do and how they can contribute. So when local government does its job of making a safe community, of building foundational infrastructure, then we see investment getting made that brings the type of amenities, not just parks and trails and all those things what we want, but entertainment and retail and quality of life type amenities. We talk about that in my ward in the Heights all the time. And what we really need is for the city to do its job and do it well. Make it a safe community and build the core infrastructure.
Right, right. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to talk about what we did in this last budget.
Okay.
I mean, I think what you saw out of our last budget on a 6-5 vote, mind mm-hmm. you, as we talk about Ward 3 and the importance, we made some pretty historic investments in public safety.
Without raising taxes.
Without raising taxes. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We actually did not assess the full mill cap.
Correct.
We kept the budget flat
yep.
for the most part. But we got on 12 new officers for the Billings PD.
Correct.
We added 7 firefighters to the strength of the Billings Fire Department.
Correct.
We added prosecutors mm-hmm. to our city attorney's mm-hmm. office. And
still invested in things like parks and
correct.
Roads and the continuing redevelopment of the airport. Budgets are about prioritization. And when you have council members willing to do the work, then we can lead our community in the right direction.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And that I think is the biggest difference as we move forward and move into next year. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, a look ahead mm-hmm. at the end of the hour into what you and I see here going into 2025. But it's a great opportunity for us to have this conversation with our community as well. I mean, what are the priorities? I think
that's
the
right.
vast majority of our community would say, we need a safe community.
Absolutely.
I want to feel safe. I want my wife and my kids to feel safe right. when they're out in our community. I think having a trail to go walk on is a lot lower on the list than being comfortable
because
in your community.
People expect that trail to be safe.
Correct.
So again, if we're not doing the basics, then all of those other things are a distraction, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we'll get on that after the break. This is Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. Good morning to everyone out there. You've got Jennifer Owen and Scott Aspenletter filling in for the great Aaron Flint. Flint's getting a little rest and relaxation with his family and taking a little break. So we're stepping in. We've got the program today, and we're going to talk about local politics again. And
love it.
So Cameron kind of started us down this conversation about investments that we've made over the last budget cycle in the city of Billings with respect to public safety.
Mm-hmm.
And this conversation always seems to be a fight against about police and fire versus parks.
That's right.
Right? And that's how it's always framed. And folks that support parks, and I don't not support parks, much to the contrary. Yeah, right. But I also tell the story very, very frequently. When I'm out recruiting people to my business, to come to Billings, and I go to 4 different colleges in the region, to Montana Tech at Butte, MSU and Bozeman, South Dakota School of Mines in Rapid City, and then University of Wyoming down in Laramie. I have never in 20 years of recruiting ever had a kid ask me, well, I like your company, but tell me about your parks and rec situation in Billings
right.
before I make my decision.
Right.
Not one time ever has that happened. Not once.
No, and look, I'm a mom. I want great places for kids in this community to play. I absolutely do. But they need to be safe places. And, you know, recently Big Sky Economic Development did a study about what makes people move to Billings. And you're exactly right. People like for there to be amenities, not just parks, mm-hmm. but restaurants and entertainment and all that. But they move here because of safety, housing costs, and job opportunities.
Right. Right.
Bread and butter.
Every time, though, in the last 5 years, I can't tell you how often I've went to these colleges and kids have looked at me when I said, they asked, well, where's your business at? And I said, well, it's in Billings. And they go, and they look, they give me that kind of squinty eye, like, mm-hmm. A lot of crime in Billings, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not parks, but crime.
Right. And we hear that in convention business and tourism, you know, people are uncertain about being in the downtown area. And look, Billings is the engine that powers Montana's economy. And if people don't feel comfortable coming here for the weekend to see their kids play in state, you know, wrestling, have a little dinner, go to the movies, we're going to struggle. And so for me, and I think for you as well, public safety has to be the number one priority.
Right, right. And this isn't a silver bullet fix.
No.
Yeah, we've got problems across the board. And the biggest one that you've been working on diligently for, what, 18 months
That's
now,
right.
is our jail situation and our court situation. So maybe talk to us a little bit, fill the listeners in a little bit about what you've been doing with the CJCC. And what is the CJCC?
So Yellowstone County, like a number of counties around the state, has a criminal justice coordinating committee, which is all of the criminal justice partners in the county. It's led either by a judge or by a county attorney. Here in Helena, a few other places, it's led by a judge. But really, in October 2023, County Attorney Scott Twido pulled a number of us together on a subcommittee under the heading of our Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee and said, we need a strategy for the jail. Yellowstone County Detention Facility has been overcrowded for a while now. And you're right, Scott, to say that public safety is not a silver bullet conversation. It's really a silver buckshot conversation.
Right.
And so when we talk about what we do for our jail, it is both how do we move people through it faster? Because people aren't generally serving sentences at the jail. They're there waiting trial. So how do we get our courts working? How do we have adequate facilities? How do we move people on to the Department of Corrections when they are ready to serve their sentences? We have to be holistic. And so our county attorney brought a number of us together to talk about not just a construction project expanding the jail, but how do we look at the entire system, move it faster, cut down on failures to appear, bring consequences back, do the basics so that when people break the law, they are held immediately accountable.
Yeah. And you just covered a whole lot in a very brief segment. So let's break that down a little bit. And yesterday, Jake Eaton and I talked a little bit about, you know, the flow of the criminal justice system and the impact that the flow of the criminal justice system has and, you know, the role that our judges play in that and the impact that the flow of the system has in what our officers do. I mean, right. I told the story yesterday morning. My wife, Heather, was in Sierra Trading Post on last Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, right when the doors open, right? Mm-hmm. And she got there early to beat the crowds and in walked three people. And they walked straight to the back. They pick up the largest boxes that they can find in the store, and they walk right out the front door.
Unbelievable.
And they load them up in the trunk of their, like, no, not running out the door, just moseying their way on out. And she looked at the front teller girl and was like, what are you doing? And the front teller girl says, we can't do anything.
That's crazy. And
we write it off as insurance. But it goes to the point, though, and we've heard it from our own officers, that what are they going to do? They go arrest those folks. They take them down to the jail.
And it's full.
So they get written up with a notice to appear and kicked right back out on the street. They're not on GPS monitoring. They haven't seen a judge. And they don't appear.
Yeah, no surprise. That notice to appear doesn't do much of anything. And I will tell you, I've been on council now for 3 years. And one of the things that I am most proud about is a project we have underway in conjunction with the county commission right now. And that is our pre-arraignment holding facility. So most people don't know this, but in the state of Montana, only counties can own and operate detention facilities. The city of Billings, however, has a piece in this. And so about a year and a half ago, I began working with a number of partners to advocate for, and we ultimately did, thanks to support from great people like you, Scott, fund in partnership with the county a pre-arraignment holding facility. This is not a jail expansion. What it is exactly what you're talking about. It's those petty quality of life crimes that escalate into something more because there's no consequence. So under construction at the Yellowstone County Detention Facility right now is a 90-bed facility that is designed to hold people until they see that judge for the first time. So now we get them on GPS monitoring, we get them charged, we know where they are. But it brings back consequences for those misdemeanors, for those infractions that are making our community unpleasant while reserving the Yellowstone County Detention Facility for the people who are truly a threat to public safety. But if we don't start interrupting people now when they are shoplifting, then all of a sudden they're shoplifting to fuel the drug habit, and then they're distributing those drugs, and now we're having assaults and serious crimes. We have to interrupt the cycle of violence, and I'm really excited that that's underway right now.
Yeah, so the city council contributed nearly $3 million. I think it was $2.8 million.
Including marijuana tax dollars. People always ask, what do you do with marijuana tax? Well, this is what we did. We put consequences back in criminal justice.
Right. And the county commission, to their credit, was a great partner in this.
Incredible partner.
They're taking the overages associated with it because they also see the importance of it. And, you know, this truly was something that came out of the work that you did for those months, proposing some type of temporary hold facility, and it evolved into a permanent 72-hour arraignment facility. And I think it's going to be the impetus in changing now the discussion around how are we arraigning people. And now we're talking about an arraignment court.
That's right. Multi-jurisdictional court. All of the municipal court, justice court, district court coming together, because it's what you and Jake were talking about yesterday. We have to make the system move faster. We will absolutely need to build more beds at Yellowstone County Detention Facility. That's not a question. Yep. I think the county commissioners will be asking the public about that soon. But in the meantime, making our criminal justice system more effective, more efficient, and more accountable is an essential part of the strategy.
Correct. And getting this 72-hour hold facility in place so that we get these people in front of judges and implementing some type of multi-jurisdictional arraignment court, mm-hmm. those two things have to work in concert.
Yes.
You know, it's not just this and this is it. This is a solution. So we have said it. I've heard you say it in a number of different forms. This is not a jail expansion.
It is not.
And it is not the substitute for mm-hmm. a real jail expansion. I mean, we have 430-some beds in our Yellowstone County Detention Facility, and we're continually operating north of 600
Correct.
To 620 people in Correct. That facility. I mean, we have problems.
Absolutely. Even if the system worked the way that it needs to, more efficiently, we would still need an expansion to hold people who are a threat to public safety. But what our officers are telling us in Billings right now is, in addition to serious crimes, they are seeing some people 2, 3, 4 times a night because they're giving them that notice to appear and they're not appearing. So what we will have open later in 2025 is the ability to hold them on that first incident, get them in front of a judge, and then get them out on GPS while they work through their system. Yep. So we start to rationalize how our criminal justice system works in Yellowstone County, and then we create a model for others around the state to follow, because we are not alone in this problem here in Yellowstone County.
Not at all. And that facility is set to be lights on in November of 25.
Correct.
At this point,
yep.
We'll have continual updates on that over the next year. Thanks for listening, folks. We have a quick break coming up, and then we're going to get right back into it. This is Montana Talks.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Washington Times reporting that Director Wray of the FBI plans to resign on or before Inauguration Day. He's calling it quits. He doesn't want to get fired by Donald Trump, according to Well, it's obvious you're getting fired. And it's a sad thing because he had an opportunity after Comey to restore the FBI to its former greatness, and he didn't. And sadly, he has presided over what has now become the biggest national security threat self-imposed in our country's history by not enforcing our nation's laws and securing the border. That would have been in his purview. Spent way too much time working in a weaponized Department of Justice, going after moms and dads at school board meetings as potentially domestic terrorists.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever worry about the safety of your home, your family, there's no better time to act right now with Simply Safe Home Security. Now, one listener writes, quote, "Because I had Simply Safe, the man who burglarized my home is now spending 6 years in a New York prison. And right now, you, my listeners, get 50% off any new Simply Safe security system just by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Now, Simply Safe has the technology to stop criminals from even entering your home in the first place with their exclusive Active Guard outdoor protection. Live agents keep watch outside your property 24/7 You get professional monitoring plans starting about $1 a day. Now, SimpliSafe is extending their massive Black Friday deal just for you, my listeners. This week, you get up to 50% off any new system with a select professional monitoring plan. It's the system I have. You'll love it. Just go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. That's simplysafe.com/Hannity because there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Safe. Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy today. High near 47. Tonight, mainly cloudy, low near 30. Lots of clouds on Saturday with a high near 49. Saturday night, cloudy, areas of rain and some snow, a low near 30. Areas of rain and some snow possible early on Sunday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. What should we talk about in 2025 in the new year? What guests should we have on? What top?
/radio. JabraEnhance.com/radio.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. You've got Jennifer Owen and Scott Aspenlighter filling in for the great Aaron Flint this morning. So we're wrapping up the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about a little bit of forecasting out 2025. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about what's to come in 2025, I think there's no better place to stay than criminal justice. Jennifer, why don't you give me kind of your thoughts on 2025 and what's coming up?
So in the last segment, we talked a little bit about the need to build a bigger jail facility. And one of the first questions that you and I are both going to hear is, well, if the county builds a bigger jail facility, how are we going to staff it? Where are we going to find the detention officers and the police officers and everybody who makes it work? And I just want to highlight that we have had a great partnership building with School District 2 to develop a criminal justice career technical education pathway. So starting to get middle schoolers and high schoolers interested in criminal justice careers, whether that's law enforcement, whether that's legal, whether that's detention facility. We just on December 17th had a middle school career exploration day. We had ATF, we had DEA, we had sheriff, PD, probation and parole, everybody there to show kids about the future of criminal justice in this community. And I think that's one of the really great things to be talking about next year is how do we support our officers, our detention officers, and really build a workforce that allows us to make this community safe. One of our tremendous partners coming up in the next hour, it was Jesse Lasilevich, U.S. attorney, who has been a tremendous thinker for us in how we recruit and get people, young people, adults who want to change careers, interested in being a part of the criminal justice solution in this community. So I'm really looking forward to having some conversations about building that workforce in the next year.
And I think that's fantastic. I mean, we talk all the time, and regardless of what sector you're in, how are we going to find the workforce?
That's right.
And where is it going to come from in Billings? As Billings continues to grow, we can't forget about the public safety folks.
Absolutely not. And these are good careers.
They are great careers.
And we want kids to see them as potential career opportunities. And so I'm really excited that School District 2 has taken this on and has been open to partnering with us and all of our criminal justice partners to recruit kids. And, you know, actually, I hope we have a chance to talk today a little bit about the layoffs at Stillwater Mine. That's been really unfortunate. But again, our criminal justice partners jumped right in and started recruiting those minors to change careers and be a part of detention officers, police officers, to join us in this fight for a safer community.
Yeah, and that's critical, not just for today, but for the next generation and the next decade in growth in our community. And, you know, I think it's a great opportunity also to talk about the wonderful things that Dr. Garcia has done,
tremendous
our superintendent
leader
here at School District 2 in Billings. Mm-hmm. And this community has not always had the best in that position. And Dr. Garcia has come, and from my perspective, really shaken up what School District 2 does and provided some much-needed outside-the-box thinking and leadership.
He is a back-to-basics guy. Kids are going to learn while they are in schools under his leadership. And I think looking into the new year, strengthening that local government collaboration, city, county, school board, working together, planning together, leading this community together has to be a priority. And I think you're going to see that around the state. Voters are tired of seeing little jurisdictional battles. It's all their pocketbook. It's all their tax dollar. Right. Whether it goes to the city, the county, or the school board, we need to be working together better. And I think that's going to be a priority in the new year.
Yeah, and I think that's been one thing that I've seen over the last year that's really improved from my perspective mm-hmm. is the collaboration, not only between the city and the county and the county commissioners, but also between school district 2 and, yep. and the city and the county.
That's right. And that's something I'm going to be looking for in that Ward 3 appointment, is someone who's willing to build those bridges and understand that we serve the same taxpayer. We're not here to protect our jurisdiction and just think about the city's budget. We're here to think about the taxpayers who elected us and how we invest in the communities, build those safe communities, those quality of life amenities, the kinds of things that people want.
Yeah, that's really our charge as local elected officials, is to keep our community safe and manage the checkbook.
That's right.
So let's take the hard break here at 7 o'clock. We're going to come back at the top of the hour with U.S. Attorney Jesse Lazlovich. I'm really jacked about this conversation.
Me too. Excited.
And you're listening to Montana Talks.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
In these days of culture wars, you commonly hear disdain for those who don't work. Those who use a social safety net to maintain an acceptable lifestyle that doesn't involve holding a job are rarely respected, yet their behavior may be perfectly rational. That's because of something economists call implicit taxes. What, we may ask, does a person or family actually receive by earning an additional dollar of wages? Because of the myriad of cash supplement, housing assistance, child care subsidies, and other safety net programs out there that are income-based, the answer may surprise you. There are so many rules to all these programs. Social Security alone has 2728 primary rules. That perhaps would make it more surprising if it were otherwise. The thresholds where earning an extra dollar incurs a penalty or puts you in a different rate bracket are incredibly harsh. Start making money and those implicit taxes add up to a lot. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.